Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast. After 2 weeks of technical difficulties, we finally have a new episode for you. The guys catch up on what we've missed and go over top headlines from this week, including Daniel Jones and the Giants, struggles in Houston and Washington, and a few teams that Nick thinks are going to sneak into the playoffs. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out, hopefully. Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast. Nick and Jeff here with you. We're going split screen. We're going virtual today due to some technical issues and some, you know, cold season floating around. So we are separate today, but we think back.
After 3 weeks off.
So we've the last 2 weeks you guys have missed out because they've been great episodes.
Yep.
And you'll just have to take our word for it.
Yep. I have notes written down all throughout my notebook, and no one's ever going to hear them.
Nope. I think, you know what I'm most disappointed about is last week I got you to burst out laughing so hard that nobody's ever going to hear it. Nobody's ever going to hear it because it was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. The way we were talking to, I don't even remember. Oh, it was Mac Hollins from the Bills.
Yep. I mean, you probably can't conjure up the same reaction I had to his quote. I mean, it'll come close if you say it again the way you said it, but
he doesn't take we're talking about how Mac Hollins from the Bills is very, very weird. He pretty much only wears shoes during the game. The rest of his life he walks around barefoot. And I think it was 2 weeks ago, he had a quote that he doesn't take elevators on game day because nobody can elevate him like he does, or something stupid. And I said that to Jeff, and Jeff just lost it. Jeff just burst out laughing because, it really is one of the most ridiculous quotes you'll ever hear.
Yeah, we did look up the quote afterwards, and we were like, maybe I got it wrong a little bit, but
pretty close.
It was definitely in the ballpark. It was pretty hilarious.
So needless to say, we 2 weeks in a row, we've done a full episode thinking that everything was good and then realizing that we had no sound, or the sound for whatever reason was skipping and it was like literally inaudible. So right. 2 weeks in a row haven't been totally fun, but I think we're in a good shape to where we can get this one out for everyone to hear. I'm just going to start not NFL related. I'm going to start in the collegiate ranks and just talk about how freaking pumped I am for my alma mater, Arizona State.
ASU.
Dude, they are one win away from being in the Big 12 championship game and possibly the college football playoff.
Right. It's insane.
It is insane. They were picked to finish 16th out of 16 teams in the Big 12 to start the year. They're picked to finish dead last, and now they're one win away from being – if they win, they'll go into the Big 12 championship game as the one seed. The best they'll have won the regular season in the Big 12.
Yeah, I feel like this is more success than they had throughout the duration of the Pac-12, to be honest with you.
Yep. Dude, I'm pumped. I'm so pumped. And I told Christy, if I still lived in Phoenix, I would 1,000% be driving up to Tucson to go to that game next weekend. Like 100%. U of A, biggest rivalry for Arizona State, win to get in the Big 12 championship. Like, it doesn't get any better than that.
Right.
I would be – my bags would be packed. So I cannot wait for next Saturday. I hope that game lives up to what we're expecting. So.
Right.
All right, let's kick it off with some NFL news, top stories as we always do. I'll let you kind of kick it off for us.
Yeah, so I guess my top story was – no, the whole Daniel Jones saga throughout. Yeah. Obviously, I wouldn't say a quarterback of his stature, because he hasn't really proven to be a quarterback there in New York that's going to be stabilizing there. But a quarterback who's getting paid that much money to be released in the middle of the year, that's nothing really comes to mind when it comes to remembering anyone of that caliber to get released during this time. Obviously, Daniel Jones is getting paid a lot of money. No one's going to pick him up on waivers because no one's going to guarantee his money. It's definitely going to be a whole change in the process. Maybe he turns his career around like a Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. One can hope. But obviously, this year he's probably looking at a backup role. Or maybe even a spot start for a couple games over there in San Francisco. I know Brock Purdy's Brock Purdy's hurting a little bit. He missed today's game. It's possible he's going to miss multiple games. So Daniel Jones is in the driver's seat for where he wants to go. But obviously, as a fan base, I'm not sure if you're going to be too excited if your team signs Daniel Jones, to be honest with you. So, but at the end of the day, Daniel Jones is a talent. There's a reason he got the money for it. And there's a reason the Giants offered him the contract that they did. The talent's there. It's just about probably getting out of New York was his biggest thing.
Yeah, it's funny. You just said something like I was trying to figure out, like, where's the best spot for him to go? What, you know, because you hear everybody says, oh, watch Dallas pick him up. And then he starts against the Giants on Thanksgiving. Like, how hilarious would that be? And, you know, all these things. And it came out, I guess, today that he wants to, when he does clear waivers, they think that he's going to actually have multiple offers.
Right.
But he wants to go to a team that is in contention. And he wants to be on a winning team more than he actually wants to, like, go to a team that's out of it and play.
Right.
So he's willing to take that backup role. But what you just said with him possibly coming to San Francisco, I think would just be great on so many levels, because I would love to see what Kyle Shanahan could do for him.
Right. Yeah. Actually having a quarterback centric offense, like Kyle Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan has done wonders for Garoppolo and Purdy, and the list goes on and on. So adding Daniel Jones to the repertoire for Kyle Shanahan is just another feather in his cap. But yeah, Daniel Jones needs to look out for what's best for him. And if that means going to a team that is now, 5-6 after today's loss?
Yep.
But still, it's the NFC West. You're only
a game back.
Yeah, you're only a game back. So you're still in contention. To put you in an offense that's that can help you succeed and maybe regain some of your value loss that you kind of feel now that you're out of New York, I think it's a good spot for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I would love that. I think if Purdy, to me, that's a no-brainer for San Francisco. If Purdy really is out or going to be out, you know, extended time. I mean, Kyle Allen didn't really light the world on fire today.
Right.
So we'll see. But I love that idea.
Yep. And then my second top story is going to be these young quarterbacks who got benched and came back stronger than ever, which is Bryce Young and Will Levis. Bryce Young, he almost did the funny thing we talked about last week about leading the Panthers over the Chiefs, but they lost by 3. So, I mean, it was a close game throughout. Bryce Young finished 21 for 35, 263 yards on TD. He didn't turn the ball over, so that's a huge thing for him. For Bryce Young, ever since he came back, it's from the bench, it's been a complete 180. And all of a sudden, as a Carolina fan base, you're thinking you just salvaged his career, and you're not thinking that number one pick is a waste anymore. And honestly, the way CJ Stroud is playing this year, it might even bring up the debate whether you made the right pick or not in the long term. CJ Stroud has a big head start winning Offensive Rookie of the Year last year. But, I mean, Bryce Young, if he can stabilize his career and Brian Canales can stick around for longer than 1 year there in Carolina, I've seen nothing but positives ever since Bryce Young has came out of the bench role. As for Will Levis, he finished 18 for 24, 278 yards. So, I mean, he's got a cannon for an arm. 2 TDs, 1 interception. His biggest thing, though, is some of his decision making.
Yeah.
Is obviously, to begin the year, he's been memeified. Yeah. I suppose it's definitely one of those things where he makes a questionable judgment every single time. He threw a pick 6 today, so that's obviously going to be the number one thing that they're going to look at with Will Levis. But honestly, the talent's there. He obviously got benched and came back. But yeah, these two young quarterbacks, if you're a fan base, I wouldn't abandon ship for these two guys just yet.
Yeah, I actually, because I wanted to talk about Houston next, and I wrote down that I think Will Levis is a baller. I really did, because, you know, I saw him live week 2 against the Jets, and obviously the highlight, or the low light, I guess, for him coming out of that game was the really horrible fumble that he had, like, basically on the goal line back in week 2. But I was really impressed how he just kept pushing the ball down the field, and he's very aggressive with some of his throws. I mean, he had a 98-yard touchdown last week on an absolutely gorgeous throw against Minnesota, backed up on their goal line. And then today, both of his touchdowns were, one was, I think, 70 yards, and another one was, I want to say, in the 50 to 60-yard range. So he throws a beautiful deep ball, and I just am really impressed with him. I am impressed that he can make those mistakes, and he just comes back, and he's like a, you know, he doesn't seem to faze him. Now, that could be good, that could be bad, but from what little I've seen from him, I really would be optimistic if I'm the Titans or a Titans fan, because I think the dude can sling it for sure.
Right. Yeah, and deep passes are definitely a tricky situation. I mean, accuracy is one thing, but having accuracy on the deep ball is something that very few quarterbacks have. And if Will Levis can cut down on the turnovers, if his coaches can make sure just to throw the ball away, throw it on the ground, so do something.
Yeah.
Not too much for Will Levis, because I feel like he tries to make a play every single time. And I mean, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, so you can turn into Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson, or you can become this week's TikTok and be a video that everyone's just going to laugh at. But right now, Will Levis, I feel like he's young enough and he has the talent enough to really turn his career around there.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to kind of see how he develops. I think that they might have something going there with him and Brian Callahan. I really like Callahan. I think that he's kind of got the moxie, the attitude that players like on the sideline, very boisterous, very animated. So I think overall, I mean, I like the pieces that Tennessee has. I don't know how long they're all there, but you know, you talk about Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, even Tyler Boyd. I think that they have pieces, and then they have a couple other guys, Westbrook something rather, the long hyphenated name. And then the dude that scored the 70-yard touchdown today, I've never heard of. But like they got pieces, you know, that I think could potentially turn into something. So, you know, like I said, cautiously optimistic if you're a Titans fan or part of that Titans front office. Now, having said all of that, I still think that they would be a better team this year with Mike Vrabel. It's kind of getting off topic, but I still don't totally understand the decision-making behind him getting rid of him last year.
Right.
I think that they have the pieces to be better than they are now, better than their record. I mean, Callahan, first year head coach, it is what it is, but I think that they definitely have some promise going into next year.
Right. Perfect.
So keeping right in that game, my top story is Houston, the team that I cannot figure out. You know, one minute they have a great win on Monday night against Dallas. I know it's Dallas, but, and then today they literally, with 14 minutes and 45 seconds left in the first quarter, so like 15 seconds into the game, we're up 7-0. And they just couldn't, like, they every single time they went out and scored or they did something to gain momentum, they gave it back. CJ Stroud, I mean, we talked about it in our preseason breakdown that we expected, or at least I expected a regression from him. And it's definitely over the last few weeks has definitely, you know, come to light. I mean, his stat line today, 20 of 33, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. So not terrific. I mean, last year, one of the things that he did so well was keep the ball in his hands, not turn the ball over, and he's just not doing that. Yeah. Joe Mixon, far and away, had his worst game of the year this year. He had only 22 rushing yards, which is insane considering some of the stat lines he's had since he's come back from injury. I mean, he's been automatic, you know, 75 to 100 yards a game and at least one touchdown every single game, and he did pretty much nothing today. So credit to Tennessee's defense as well. But I mean, you look at Houston now, they're 7-5. Thankfully, they are in a pretty terrible division. They have a 2-game lead over Indy, who's 5-7. They lost to the Lions today. At the end of the day, I think that Houston is going to win the division and really probably not have much of an issue doing so, but I don't think they're going to go anywhere in the postseason personally.
Right. I mean, I've been critical of Houston for a while now because they haven't really had that game where it's a breakout game or where it was a solidified win or you felt confident as a Houston fan that this is a team that can carry you to a Super Bowl and win you a Super Bowl. Obviously, C.J. Stroud's regression is definitely something to look into. If you're Texans management, especially in the offseason, is it the offensive coordinator? Is it the QB coach? Or is it the head coach in general? I honestly can't pinpoint it why C.J. Stroud is having the regression that he is. But at the end of the day, right now, this Houston Texans offense is revolving around Joe Mixon. And it looks like if you can slow down Joe Mixon and you can force C.J. Stroud to throw the ball a lot more than maybe what Houston is preferring to do right now, you have a chance to win. Because Houston, I have Houston's defense on one of my teams, and they got me like 19 points. And still, they gave up 32 points to Tennessee, who has not been lighting the world on fire in terms of their offensive production. So, I mean, if this travels down to their defense as well, all of a sudden you're looking at a very flawed team that you are going to have to rely on both phases of the game to come together, and hopefully one of them bails the other one out. And it's just not going to be a formula for success come playoff time. Like you said, their division isn't really a powerhouse. Obviously, Jacksonville's had their issues. Indy with Anthony Richardson is definitely not been a world beater. And Tennessee, where they're at, is what it is. We've already stated where they're at. But Houston in general is just not that convincing of a division winner for me. If they get pinned against anyone else come playoff time, I might have to roll with whoever else they play.
Well, that's what I was just going to say next. So, more than likely they're going to lock down the 4 seed.
Right.
So that means they're playing. I mean, quite honestly, any of the 3 wildcard teams, Pittsburgh/Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
the Chargers, the Broncos, and I'm going to say /Miami because I'll get into them in a minute. I don't know that I would pick Houston over any of those 4 or 5 teams that I just mentioned.
Right. I wouldn't.
Yeah. So it's kind of a fall from grace. I mean, it's typical, but I feel like not a lot of people expected it because of how dominant and impressive and in control Stroud was last year, and that just trickled down to the rest of the team. And right. I think that obviously now that you're not seeing that, it's trickling down to some of the rest of the team as well. So
yeah.
I think that they'll be fine in the long run. I still think he's a stud. Right. They had some injuries. Nico Collins was out for a while. Mixon missed, I think, 2 or 3 games. So, I think they'll get there. They'll win the division, no problem, but they got some things to figure out before the playoffs and then going into next year.
Yeah, but is it too late for them to figure things out? It's already late in the season, and if they haven't found their identity yet, I feel like it's very hard for Houston.
Yeah, no, it's close. It's real close. I haven't looked at their schedule. I don't know who they have left. If they have any divisional opponents left, they probably could figure it out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the AFC South is just not good.
Right.
But no, I mean, to your point, I mean, there's 5 games left.
Yeah.
At this point, 5 or 6, depending on your bye week. It's going to be tough.
Right.
And then my other top story, we've talked about this the last 2 weeks, but because those episodes never came out, this is like brand new information for people. I am all about the Miami Dolphins right now. I fully expect them to make the playoffs. They are, so they won today. They 34-15 over the Pats. They're currently 5-6. They're the 8th seed in the AFC right now. So Denver holds the last playoff spot in the 7th seed. Denver is 7-5. They haven't had their bye yet, and Miami is 5-6. They have had their bye yet. So they're only 1 loss behind that last wild card spot, which is Denver. And I know Denver has been impressive. Bo Nix has been impressive. Sean Payton, we love him. But I personally would take Tua and McDaniels and the experience over Denver right now if it came right down to it. So I am fully on the Miami bandwagon. And I mean, I jokingly, but really not jokingly, said that Tua is the MVP of this league. I think I said it 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And what he means to his team. I mean, I don't know how people can watch what the Dolphins are doing and his stat lines and continue to argue that. Like today, 29 of 40, 317 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Woo.
I mean, the dude is just, he is the difference maker for that team when he's on the field. I mean, they have an enormous matchup on Thanksgiving night. Thank God, because the other two games are atrocious. But they go to Lambeau Field. They play Green Bay Sunday or Thursday night. So I can't wait for that game. I think it's going to be a great game. I know Tua had a quote today that said they know the storyline and they want to prove everybody wrong about not being able to play good teams in cold weather.
Yep.
So they already apparently are aware of that and thinking about that and want to prove people wrong. Dude, if they win Thursday, watch out. Like, I'm saying it right now.
Yeah, I mean, Miami, like you said in that quote, their biggest thing is they're 5-6 now, and the remaining schedule, it's cold weather now. It's November, December. This is where they got wiped last year in the playoffs. Obviously, against, was it KC? We wanted colder. obviously, that shirt Mike McDaniels had. This is where it's going to define you as a team and the rest of your season. If they can pull this off and make the playoffs with winning, maybe 10 games is going to get you there. Obviously 11 is their max with 6 losses. But if they can get there and improve to be a team that can play in this type of weather, if I'm one of the teams up there in the AFC upper half of the bracket, I'm not wanting to see Miami. That is the team that would be rolling. That is an offense that has figured it out. Obviously, you have Achan, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Jonnu Smith has come on in the tight end position in a way that I didn't expect him to. But that is a dangerous team with Tua there. Obviously, they were the complete opposite without Tua. They'd probably go winless if it wasn't for Tua. That's how bad they are without him.
And the scary thing is, like, Tyreek Hill really hasn't had that big of an impact. I know he scored a touchdown last week, but Jalen Waddle's the guy that put up the stats today. And Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith has had, like, a resurgence. The dude has come out of nowhere as the starting tight end in Miami. But, you know, if we're going to say that the last wild card spot is between the Broncos and the Dolphins, right? You look at the Broncos' last 5 games. They have the Chargers. They have the Chiefs. They have the Bengals. They have the Colts and the Browns. Not in that order, but I'm just looking at, like, teams that could beat them. I think the Chiefs very, very realistically could beat them. The Bengals. The Chargers, the Chargers are a great team. The Colts, I think, you know, we talk about the AFC South, but they can hang with anybody. And then, you know, freaking Jameis and the Browns just had a huge win on Thursday against Pittsburgh. So they clearly can play with anybody too. I don't know, man. I just think that it shapes up nicely for Miami to really surprise some people and squeak in with that last wild card spot.
Yeah, that Denver Chargers game is definitely going to be huge for either team, whoever comes out on top, because that will solidify the Chargers' position or stranglehold there for top two wild card seed. And then Denver is going to be fighting for their playoff lives if they lose that game. Yep. So it'll be definitely interesting to see how that turns out. But Miami is definitely, even though they're what, a game and a half behind Denver, to me, the ball's in their court. If they win out, they'll probably make it in.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to kind of continue in our next segment with overreactions, because my first overreaction kind of lines up with what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So two teams currently under 500 are going to make the playoffs.
Okay. Or
one is Miami.
Okay.
The second one is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is 5-6. They got Mike Evans back today. They absolutely destroyed the Giants. Mm-hmm. I really think that Tampa Bay could come back and win this division, that being the NFC South. I think that Atlanta's sitting at 6-5.
6-5.
Right. So, I mean, you're talking about a one game lead with five or six games left. Tampa has had a ton of injuries. Their offense is explosive. I mean, they gave, everybody forgets at this point, but they gave the Lions their only loss of the season back in week two.
Right.
So I fully believe that Tampa can play with anybody. And I really don't, it wouldn't surprise me if one or both of those teams make it in that are currently under, have a losing record.
Right. Yeah. Talking about MVPs and being important to your team, Mike Evans definitely changes the whole focal point of that offense. Obviously we saw what Tampa Bay was without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Obviously Chris Godwin's not going to return this year, but Mike Evans at least provides them some sort of passing game. And I mean, he's been a stabilizer there for that, that offense for years and years. So it's nothing new to him. He knows how to be that wide receiver one. I think an undervalued facet of that game is the running game. Bucky Irving had a game for himself, and he had like 27 fantasy points. Yep. So he's definitely someone to look out for. Obviously, they still have Rashid White. Sean Tucker is still there. I mean, they have playmakers around. It's just about finding the ways to spread the ball. Obviously, all those guys were on the running back positions, and there's only so many running backs you can have on the field at a time. But Mike Evans is definitely a game changer there for Tampa Bay. And with the way Atlanta is going, which is going to be – it feels like a tale of two halves right now. The first half, they kind of figured it out, but now they're kind of derailing themselves.
Yeah.
This might be the time that Tampa Bay definitely catapults themselves up to the – up to capturing a division title there. Honestly, I don't think it's an overreaction at all. Obviously, we talked about Miami already, but Tampa Bay overtaking Atlanta, that's definitely doable in my opinion.
And so they're sitting at 5-6. Mm-hmm. I didn't plan this out, but now thinking out loud, this rolls perfectly into my next overreaction, which is that Washington is going to miss the playoffs.
Ooh.
So Washington is the last wild card spot at 7-5. It's literally the exact same scenario that we just talked about with Denver and Miami.
Right.
Game and a half back. Washington has lost, what, 3 in a row. They lost a heartbreaker to the Steelers. They lost a close game on Thursday to the Eagles. And then they lost a real clunker. I mean, the score ended up being high scoring, but for the most part, it was a pretty boring game. Against the Cowboys today, who are just a dumpster fire. So, and it was at home. So that was today was the game that really surprised me out of those three. But I just don't know. I wonder if all of the hype and the spotlight around Washington, like they're starting to come back down to earth a little bit. And I really wonder how healthy Jaden Daniels is. If you think about, I want to say it was the Bears game, maybe even a week before that, when he had that rib injury and he was questionable if he was going to play going into the next week, he hasn't been the same quarterback.
Right.
He hasn't run the ball nearly as much. So I question his health. I know he hasn't said anything, and from what we know about him, I don't think that he ever would make an excuse, but I just really wonder if he's not all the way healthy. He's not putting up the numbers that he was in the beginning half of the season. So I don't know if they continue to play like this. I think there's too many quality teams behind them. You're talking about Arizona, the Rams, the Bucks, all a game back, game and a half technically. So I think it's very realistic that Washington, is going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, we talked about Jaden Daniels in Washington, especially with rookie QBs. I feel like they're always a year away as a team as a whole, because if you have a rookie QB that's lighting the world on fire, it's mainly because you had a high draft pick. You know, obviously, these QBs are very coveted, and they're getting picked very high in the first round. But some of the problems that arise is the rest of your team isn't necessarily a complete roster, and these flaws come up midway or towards the latter end of the year. And this is what we're seeing with Washington. Obviously their defense got kind of torched today by Cooper Rush and Dallas. That's unfortunate to see. Obviously with all the improvements they've made throughout the year to get them to 7-2 to begin the year. But obviously an 0-3 these last 3 weeks is definitely painful. Obviously today was should have been a get right game for Washington, because it is Dallas that has been a train wreck for a while now, and it's at home. This was the game that if you were going to catapult yourself and solidify your position in the playoffs, this is who the opponent that you needed to strangle and put your foot on the gas pedal on. But yeah, Jaden Daniels, when it comes to rib injuries, you always fear fractured ribs and cracked ribs. Obviously, there's multiple ribs in that area, but and they'll never leak how many cracked ribs he has or whatever. But rib injuries are definitely something that's going to affect the throwing motion and your accuracy. And I agree with you. You have to question how healthy is he. And unfortunately, it's effective on his decision making, whether he wants to run the ball, whether he thinks he can make a pass down the field. Because of the pain, it starts questioning everything. So unfortunately for Washington, this whole thing is taking them a step back. But between you and me, we definitely agreed that they were a year away anyway. So to me, you just roll with the positives and you go into next year trying to complete your roster even more.
Yeah, and I didn't even mention this. I wrote down their last five games that they have. So Titans, who just played the Vikings really tough and then just beat Houston. So that might not be a walk in the park. The Saints, who are playing well. Then the Eagles, the Falcons, and then they finish with the Cowboys. So the last four games, really, I mean, even five, I mean, I wouldn't surprise me if the Titans beat Washington with the way that the two teams are playing. Those are five tough games. So I could easily see them missing playoffs.
Yeah. That's not a cupcake schedule by any means.
No.
And obviously, the closer they get to the end of the year and the playoff races get a little bit tighter, maybe Jaden Daniels is going to put a little bit more pressure on himself to do certain things. And obviously, what you have to preach to the guy is don't do too much and don't get yourself injured. That is your number one priority. Do not get yourself injured.
Yep. All right. So what do you got?
So for my overreaction, I'm going to regret this. I'm regretting it already. But this is something I said last year, and I'm rolling with it again.
Oh boy.
The Chiefs will lose their first playoff game.
Oh, my God.
They're 10-1. They're 10-1. But obviously, you're facing against the Carolina team that is ranked dead last in points allowed against. Obviously, you put up 30. You put up 20 first half points, which is the most you have all year. But you only put up 10 in the second half, and you almost gave that game away. So Kansas City, we've talked about it at length throughout the year. They find ways to win. They know how to win, but they just are not convincing. If it was anybody but the Chiefs, I feel like we'd be on the bandwagon of being like, hey, this is kind of looking like a Houston team that's just not doing what it needs to do. But obviously, because it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they definitely get the benefit of the doubt. But I am rolling with it and seeing what happens.
Did you really just say that?
I did.
Oh my God. I got nothing.
It's happened. It's an overreaction.
I'm just like it. I will forever now be like, they have to show me first. Like, I'm not going to believe that they're going to lose until they actually lose.
Right. Especially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I understand the mindset. It's the whole Buffalo Bills thing all over again about the mindset of beating them in the regular season, but not being able to do it in the playoffs. It gets within your own head that they're better, bigger, and faster than you are in every facet of the game. And you beat yourself. They beat you. Well, you beat yourself before they even beat you on the field. And it's crazy to see the aura and the leverage they have for themselves just by name alone. And it's crazy to see. It's just as a team, I look at them for the flaws that they have. It's just not looking like they have the team that is executing to the degree that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have been in the past.
That doesn't mean anything.
until they get packed home, it don't mean a thing, I guess.
Yep.
Perfect. All right. And then my second thing is, it's going to be a little tidbit from earlier, but the 49ers are done. That's obviously they're a game behind, but still the 49ers lost pretty convincingly against Green Bay, even with Brock Purdy there. I'm not sure how much, because Green Bay scored, what, 30-some-odd points?
38.
Yeah, almost a 40-burger on that defense. Nothing against Purdy, but I'm not sure if he's putting up 40 against Green Bay, especially that defense that they have in Green Bay. That's a pretty convincing defense that Green Bay has. Xavier McKinney is obviously there, and he was someone I brought up about being defensive player of the year earlier in the year. But 49ers right now, if their defense is not going to be elevating their gameplay, especially if Brock Purdy's not going to be playing for multiple weeks, all of a sudden you're looking at the 49ers as definitely a team that's out. Obviously, you have Seattle, Arizona, and the Rams all around you. And at 5-6, if the Rams win, all of a sudden you have three teams that you have to go over. And at this stage of the game, that's pretty tough to do, even if it's just a one game separating all four of the teams. Right now, they're at the bottom half of the league in the red zone and third down defense. They're in the middle of the pack in terms of scoring defense. Their defense is what has given them the name and the notoriety to get into the Super Bowl. It's just hasn't been the same 49ers defense that we've come to know.
Yeah, it's just been such a weird year. I mean, they've been crazy, crazy injured. You think about losing Brandon Ayuk. You think about McCaffrey being out the first 10 weeks. Now Purdy's out. Trent Williams was out today on the offensive line. Well, that was huge. But, I mean, even, you know, you'd think that this screamed like a huge Christian McCaffrey game today.
Right.
And the dude had 11 carries for 31 yards. Now, I know some of that probably was – the game script, like how the flow of the game ended up going,
right?
But even like on those 11 carries, that's less than 3 yards a carry. That is not typical Christian McCaffrey numbers. And I think probably a large part of that was Trent Williams being out. But I agree. I think that Purdy or no Purdy, they probably still would have lost this game. It would surprise me if they are able to completely turn it around and leapfrog. Because you think about it, you already said it, the Cardinals, the Rams, the Seahawks, they're all playing better than the Niners right now.
Right.
So yep. I agree.
Yep. I'm the 49ers, I'm looking at that defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen. Well, what's going on, buddy? Obviously, this is a defense that's aging a little bit, but this was obviously the year that we talked about it during our seasonal rankings and preseason thing. Or this was going to be it for the 49ers because you have a lot of players there, and we expected some regression, but this is at 5-6. It's definitely a lot harder than we thought would happen.
So, side note, I am so curious to see what happens with Brock Purdy after this year with the kind of contract that he gets.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, if you are just going to say, hey, let's give him the market value, like that's talking over $60 million a year. Mm-hmm. And from what you've seen from him this year, with how he's played with all of his different pieces out at different times, is he worth that? Like, is he the difference maker? I mean, we talked about it last year when everybody was right around this time, really, when MVP conversations were really starting to pick up. And how I really, and I think you agreed that he is the sum of his parts.
Right.
That he's not the difference maker on that team. Mm-hmm. And I think that this this year is kind of proving that to be true. So I don't know that I would pay him $60 million a year.
I feel like if you do sign him to that money, it has high potential to be Daniel Jones all over again. And that is very scary if you're San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah, I honestly wouldn't do that.
Yep. Okay. All right, power rankings. So I will let you kick it off for us.
Okay. So I would say I have the first four as last week, but no one knows what I had last week. So I'll just name them all off. Number one, I got the Lions. Obviously, I don't feel like any team is playing as good as the Lions, even with Miami's hot streak.
Yeah.
The Lions are just the Lions right now. They are the class of the NFL, I feel like. Number two, I got the Bills. They're on bye week this week, so I'm not going to dock them for anything. The Eagles at number three. They've just been rolling. I can't say too many bad things about the Eagles. They've definitely turned it around. Number four, the Chiefs. They're 10-1. Obviously, I wish I could have them higher at 10-1. It's just I'm not convinced about the team in general. Obviously, come playoff time, they'll definitely turn it on, but it's definitely a flawed team. And the number five, I kind of have a cameo here. It's the winner of the Ravens and Chargers match.
Okay.
Obviously, they play tomorrow. Honestly, I couldn't decide which team to go with. I had the Steelers here last week. Yeah. Obviously, they lost to the Browns. But I feel like whoever wins out of the Ravens and Chargers definitely has more of a foothold on the playoff race towards the latter half of the year. I like both teams, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. I love both quarterbacks. Chargers defense is what the number one ranked defense in the NFL. They're no slouch. And then obviously the Ravens, they have an atrocious defense so far. But if they can sneak out a win against the Chargers, I feel confident putting them in my number five spot.
Okay. So nobody knows this, but my top three are the same. So I had Lions, Bills, Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept the Chiefs where they were. I thought about dropping them, but again, it goes back to our conversation around your overreaction. Like, the Chiefs are just the Chiefs to me.
Right.
I'm just keeping them there. I had the Steelers number four last week, so they fell off. So I moved the Eagles up to number four. And then this one, so it's funny because I feel like you're going to agree with me. I put them on at number five because I felt like I had to. But I'm not sold at all.
Hey, take a guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Vikings?
Yes. I mean, they're 9-2.
Yeah.
The Vikings are 9-2 and nobody like we haven't said one single word about them in probably the last 5 weeks. I know they came out guns blazing, started out, I think 5-0, 6-0. They're 9-2. I mean, they at some point we have to start talking about them, but I just don't trust them.
Right.
Like, there's just something about it. And maybe it's literally Sam Darnold. Like, if they were 9-2 with Josh Allen, or, you know, just throwing out a name, we'd be like, oh my God, the Vikings are amazing.
Yeah. But they're a top two team all of a sudden.
Yep. But they're 9-2 with Sam Darnold. Right. And to his credit, he played a phenomenal game today. He looked great. I mean, today was one of those rare wins for them where Justin Jefferson had almost no impact. Mm-hmm. So that's always impressive when you can win a game. I mean, they have so many weapons. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson is now healthy. Aaron Jones is still a beast. I know he had a goal line fumble today, but he's still such a dynamic playmaker, backfield, catching the ball, like he can do everything. And the Vikings still have a pretty decent defense. I know they kind of crumbled in the last 3 or 4 minutes of regulation today to let the Bears back in it. But they're not, at the end of the day, they're 9-2. So I felt like I had to put them in there, but I'm not sold on it at all.
I almost rolled that way with the Vikings as well. But like I said, I agreed with you. I couldn't pull the trigger on it simply because it was Sam Darnold, to be honest with you. And obviously, we talked about it on one of the shows that won't air, but Sam Darnold had a stretch of three games where he was turning the ball over at a very alarming rate.
Yeah.
And I did pick the Bears over the Vikings for my upset this week from last week because I thought the Bears defense was going to cause enough chaos on Sam Darnold to create those turnovers that he was contributing to. Obviously, he did it, and they ended up winning the game. So, but I mean, if he would have turned the ball over once, all of a sudden you're looking at a different game script. All of a sudden you're looking at the Bears maybe getting a little bit of leverage. So, I mean, the theory was there. It just happened that Sam Darnold had a very good game. He took care of the ball. And it's just about a matter of trust, whether this Sam Darnold is going to show up when you need him to, or if the Sam Darnold that gives up under duress is going to show up. So it's definitely a coin flip for that team.
Yeah, I agree. All right. I don't know if you wrote anything down, but I have a quick fantasy bolo are something to keep in mind, and that is to make sure you do your lineup every week.
Are you referring to me?
I am referring to you. So Jeff and I were matched up together this week, and the dude just didn't do his lineup. Like, I think you're projected to score like 65 points this week because you got like three guys on bye.
Exactly. That was the thing. All my guys were on bye. Alvin Kamara, Bijan Robinson. At that point, I was like looking at my bench.
You just jacked in?
Well, I was looking at my bench and I was like, okay, let me look at my free agent options and let me see who, like, I was trying to evaluate, is it worth dropping this player just to have a chance to beat you this week when I'm already like, what? I think the league you were referring to is like, I'm 7-4 or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can take the loss. I'm not going to drop a player and sacrifice potentially the rest of my season just to try to beat Nick, because we're playing each other in, I think, in like two leagues, and the other league, which is our 14 team league, I did pull a few triggers on that one. I think I'm still going to lose in that league anyway. So,
yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are. Thanks.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I'm not even worth changing your lineup for. You know what you did? You know what you did, Jeff? You gave a 4-17 life. Okay. You gave me life. Don't let me squeak into the playoffs. Okay. I'm just saying, don't let me squeak in, because I have a crazy good lineup in that league that, for whatever reason, I've only won four games, can't figure it out. But you gave me life. Okay.
I gave you hope.
All right. One thing. What's that?
That's what friends do, right?
Yeah, I appreciate you. Yeah. So the one thing that I don't have hope in is our picks.
Right.
I suck. So I actually did pick up a game on you. So just again, we have 2 weeks worth of just horrible, horrible picks on my end. So I went 1-2 last week. So for, I don't even know if we've recorded an episode successfully where we've picked the game of the week. I don't know if we have, but for those, if we haven't, we started picking the game of the week, or what we think is the game of the week, every week, in addition to our lock and our upset. So a total of three picks every week. A couple weeks ago, we did five picks because there were so many good games.
Right.
You went 5-0. I think I went like 2-3 or 1-4. So last week I went 1-2. My lock was the Lions over the Colts. I got that right. My upset was the Niners over the Packers before I knew about Brock Purdy. But again, I'm not sure that would have made a difference. And then our game of the week was, there really weren't a ton of great matchups this week. So we decided on, the Cardinals and the Seahawks. It was a battle for first place. Mm-hmm. I obviously picked the Cardinals. And that was a huge disappointment, a huge clunker. Their offense just didn't show up. So I went 1-2 this week. So I'm sitting at 11-19 overall.
That's something.
Yeah, you shut your mouth, because you went 0-3 this week.
I did.
So you want to recap your picks?
Yeah, last week I went Steelers over the Browns for Thursday Night Football. Obviously, the Steelers were trending high. Browns were not.
Yeah,
but I got Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston definitely did his thing, and
the Jameis Winston snow game.
The snow game, Jameis Winston snow game. But yeah, that's a team that I will never be able to figure out on both ends, the Browns and the Steelers. I'm just gonna steer away from both of those teams for my picks.
It's so funny, because last week I just got done saying how, like, I'm officially on the Steelers bandwagon, like. Yeah. And then they go and they lay an egg against the Browns. So
yeah,
I don't know.
And then my upset last week was the Bears over the Vikings. As I said earlier, I thought the Bears defense was going to do a little bit more against Sam Darnold, force a little bit more turnovers. But obviously that didn't happen. But I mean, they almost stuck it in. They pulled off some crazy plays. They got a touchdown, a field goal, an onside kick, took it into overtime. They almost pulled it out for me, but unfortunately, it was just not meant to be. And then, obviously, for the game of the week, I picked the Cardinals as well. I thought they were rolling high, but obviously, Seattle isn't a team to be messed with too much in Seattle. That's a home field advantage that's very underrated, I feel like. But yeah, 0-3, it is what it is. I think I'm still, what, 18-11?
18 and 12. Yep.
Okay. I can live with that.
Yeah. So you got a nice 7-game lead.
Perfect.
All right. So I'll kick us off this week. So for my lock, I picked the Bucks over the Panthers. I know the Panthers had a great game today, but I just am riding the Bucks bandwagon. I think that Mike Evans coming back is going to be an energy spark for them. So I expect them to roll the next couple weeks. So I take the Bucks over the Panthers. My upset, I'm not sure how I feel about this. This might be like a prisoner of the moment sort of pick. I picked the Titans over the Commanders. Commanders favored by 6. So I went with, you know, the Titans the last 2 weeks. Obviously, they beat Houston today, and they were right there with Minnesota the week before. So two quality teams. And I think the Titans defense is really playing well, in addition to Will Levis playing okay as well. So that one I think could be closer than people think. And then game of the week, we picked this week the Eagles and the Ravens as our game of the week, and I took the Eagles. The Eagles defense is playing phenomenal right now. We already talked about how the Ravens don't have a defense. So I think that the Eagles are the hot team right now, and I'm picking the Eagles.
Gotcha. Yeah, so for my lock, I got the Chiefs over the Raiders.
Surprised by that one. When I read that, you surprised me just because, like, I think we've talked about it in weeks past how the Raiders are that team for the Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders are sitting at 2-8. I just look at the records, and I wonder how the Raiders are going to be during this last chunk of the season. I wonder how many of them are just going to pack it in and call it even. I think right now they're probably going to roll out Desmond Ridder as their quarterback right now. I'm not sure how that's going to roll out for.
Minshew broke his collarbone.
Who did?
Gardner Minshew. He broke his collarbone.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're down to what, your third QB, yeah. Raiders. So for me, it's just about the Chiefs. Obviously they had a scare today, but I feel like, it was kind of like a wake up call almost. Like these opponents are still NFL caliber. These opponents are still getting paid to come out and do things, and try to win football games. So I think today was a trap game, and I think they'll be a little bit more prepared for the Raiders next week.
Okay.
For my upset, I got Miami over the Packers. I'm buying into the bandwagon of Miami as well.
I love that yeah, pick.
You know, obviously it's in Green Bay. You said on Thanksgiving, so it's definitely the game of Thanksgiving that I keep an eye on. That should be pretty exciting. But yeah, Miami right now, before it gets too cold in Lambeau Field, I feel like this is where they'll definitely put the pedal to the metal for Miami. And for my game of the week, I actually have the Ravens over the Eagles. Honestly, all my senses say go Eagles, because they honestly probably do have the better team in terms of defense and more continuity in terms of offense. But I feel like this is one of those games where all common sense kind of gets blown out the window, and the Ravens kind of sneak by on this one. Obviously Zay Flowers, Derrick Henry, they have the pieces to kind of wear down an Eagles defense. Lamar Jackson is still Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. I think the Ravens just have just enough. This is the sort of games that I feel like the Ravens show up for the most.
Yeah.
Because I feel like other losses are against teams that they should have beat originally. So I feel like this is the sort of game that the Ravens definitely show up for.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be a really good game.
Yep.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Hopefully, once we hit stop here and edit everything, it all lines up and you guys get to hear this. Because, again, this is good stuff.
Right.
We'll see. So hope you guys enjoyed, and hope you all have a great holiday, because the next time we are together, it'll be after Thanksgiving. So enjoy Thanksgiving with all of your people. And we will be back and better than ever for week 13.
Perfect. Happy Thanksgiving.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to What Did They Know podcast. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets to see future episode details. And don't forget to send in any questions or topics that you want to see the guys discuss in their weekly episodes to come.